Thank you all. I'm not used to that. I'm used to doing the other way. So I have to receive today, don't I? Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it very much. I woke up at 6:30 this morning, and the pain had gone up through my shoulder into my neck. And it was just throbbing, then it went around to my temple. And it's just all connected there. The surgeon is telling me that, you know, we're going to just declare it some type of emergency now and get it done. You know, the VA was broke and all of this stuff, and we went through all that. But they had to give me a shot, an injection, because the VA didn't, you know, like. But he said, now I have to wait because you can't do the surgery for a while after I give you the injection because the tissue won't heal as well. So it's like, hope the VA doesn't run out of money before we can get this worked out. But anyway, just keep in your prayers. They won't run out of money if the Lord blesses us the way we hope in a few weeks. Here they won't. So I say that, and I believe it strongly. They, you know, the Lord bless us in a few weeks, and we'll have a different view on things. So there's a lot of us that need it. I'm tired of having to wait for people who've never worn this uniform, never wore the uniform, never citizens of this country getting attention before those who've done everything they know to do to protect it. This is not part of the message. It's just part of the frustration of, you know, treating people who give nothing to this country before those who have. And the priority and the mandates have been that they, if you're an illegal, you get medical attention over everybody else. And friends, it's not the way it is. Even God does not give his blessings to those who don't believe in him, who don't serve him. Rains on the just and the unjust. Yeah, those natural things. But think about it. You want the blessings you believe, and you give your heart to him the best you know how. But you don't just walk in and say, I'm not one of your kingdom, but I want everything you have. And that's what's being done here. Well, even with God, you don't. Just try that with the Lord and see what happens. Just tell someone to try it. So enough said. I told you earlier, I'm trying to watch everything. But, you know, there's just some things that finally wear on you, and you have to call it for what it is. We have been under evil. And I'm praying for better days ahead. So let me move to this, and you say, this isn't totally removed from the message, is it? No. No, it isn't. So let's read the passage. I don't like long passages for a message, and yet it's not long, but it's longer than I wish. So let's do it. It says in Colossians 1, 11 through 20, that's where we're headed. This is the New International Version. Being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great... And listen to these words. I'm reading it fast, but I try not too fast. That you may have great endurance, you know, being strengthened with all power, according to God's glorious might, so that you may have, listen to this, great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. We'll go back over some of this. For God, listen to this, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You think about that, and we'll talk about it more in a moment. But it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before. Who is Jesus? He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things. And whether they're on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I know that's a lot. And you're saying, I know it. That's why I broke it down in here. So that we could look at least several of the benefits that were offered. And so the title of this message is just Inheritance and Completeness in Christ. We have an inheritance and we have a completeness. And we want to talk about those things. And we'll not spend a great deal of time on any one of these. There's five things I want you to grab this morning that God wants you to have and take home with you. Comfort yourself with them. These you can call them blessings, benefits, gifts of God, but they're all for you. They're for us. Now, when he says that, first of all, well, I'll get to it in a moment. That means I'm going to get ahead of myself so bad sometimes, and I can't. But first, let's look at the total. Just, you know, the gift of God's kingdom, his heaven, just this total inheritance that you have. Do you realize that? You have everything. Everybody here is going to inherit in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, you know what, in John 14, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. What did he say I go to do? Prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. So you're going to get one. Who knows? There may be some politicians that just barely get in. They'll be mowing your lawn. They might actually learn what manual labor is all about. I'm sorry, I really don't believe that. But anyway, I don't expect to see many of them there. But I hope some of them make it by believing in Christ. By their fruits, you'll know them. So what kind of fruits are you seeing? By their fruits, you'll know any of us. And you take a look and say, by their fruits. Can a bad tree bear good fruit? Can a good tree bear bad fruit? And he's saying, so by their fruits you'll know. Don't be misled by false prophets. So when you look at people, no matter how they seem to shine, say, what are the fruits in their life? What's their lifestyle? What are they like? Are they producing anything good? Do they do any good for anyone? Or are they self-centered? Are they narcissistic? Now, I don't mean just about political people, news people, business people, and especially Christian people. Friends, don't be misled by what somebody says. And don't be misled because of people that get on the, you know, on TV and get on the air and they've got this huge following, making a lot of money and fly their own personal airplanes and all this stuff. Look at their fruit. I've said this before. I say it now. It's amazing to me that some of these people pastor what is considered some of the largest evangelical churches in the United States and yet make no positive impact for Christ in their community and the political scene. Nothing. Think about it. If you're really what you say you are and you have all those thousands of members that you're supposed to have, how come you're not out canvassing the community, doing things to lead people to Christ and influencing who gets in office? One of these that are so renowned, I heard this from one who was there. It's another renowned person. And he said, this individual, when confronted with why aren't you preaching on some of these subjects, he said, I will preach on nothing controversial. Well, why don't you just take the Bible then and close it up? Because really, if you just about everything in here is controversial to somebody. Some passages more than others. But that's what you have out there. And so we don't have that impact. And by praying like we prayed and started the service this morning, and we'll keep doing that at least ever so often. I'll just say how the Lord leads, but we'll do it more often. Because I know that God's listening. And He hears our prayers. And that's part, listen, and not rambling here, it's part of your inheritance. You have this guaranteed. It's the gift, you know, the gift of God's kingdom. It's your inheritance, your completeness. This is the gift of God's kingdom for you. Total inheritance. God has a kingdom prepared for you. That's what we've just read. For you. You have God's Holy Spirit. You have authority in Jesus' name. You have Jesus' authority over the enemy. Why are you so sad? Why are you so down? Claim that authority. Already, we were talking earlier, already there's reports starting to flow in that ballots are being changed in early voting in places. That you vote for one individual and they're being changed. Are these reports true? According from what we've seen in the past, I don't doubt it at all. We know that people on local level in this state have already been, they've been caught. And it's publicly recognized that there was cheating in the ballots. For crying out loud. Is that what it takes to win now? You got to cheat because you're no good? Because you can't win on your own? Friends, listen. Pray. You have this authority in Jesus' name. And if you think God doesn't hear your little sentence prayers you prayed earlier, you're absolutely wrong. He listens to the prayers of His people. Pray hard. Pray for righteousness. Pray for God's salvation. Pray that Jesus Christ will be recognized again. That He'll be the Savior of this country. Don't look to a man. Don't look to a woman. Don't look to a party. Don't look to anything. Look to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Pray to Him. Hope in Him. Put your faith and confidence in Christ alone. Not in any human being or institution. Not in a pastor. Not in anybody. Not in your church. Put your faith in Christ. He's the only one that won't disappoint. We have this gift of God's kingdom, and it's this total inheritance. Jesus has given it all to you. And that's what He says over here. You know, you have it. You have it. He says, I want you to be patient and strengthened with all power and great endurance and patience. He said, why? Because you give thanks to the Father who has qualified you, listen to this, to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. How are you qualified? When you ask Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior and Lord, and you repent of your sins, you are qualified and you enter the kingdom of God. This old earth suit is going to be changed out, and you're going to get to do the spacewalk you've dreamed of. Think about that. I've always wanted to do a spacewalk. I wanted to go up there. I wanted to take off and go up there and get outside and float in space. And it's like, well, Tony, you're going to get to do that. Just hang on. You'll do it, and you don't have to wear any space suit or anything. You'll be in your new suit, new body. Think about it. It knows no bounds. You know, have you ever wondered, ever thought about this? As part of your kingdom inheritance, this new body you get, do you realize that you can walk through walls? It says the disciples were all gathered together in a closed in a room, and they were fearful of the Romans and the Pharisees and everybody coming to get them after Christ had been crucified and resurrected and everything. And all of a sudden, Jesus is in their midst. He just came right through the wall. Won't that be a pleasure? One person nodded their head. The rest of you looking at me like, you haven't thought about it? He appeared with a locked door. He can just come through the ceiling, walk through, go through walls. So if you get the body, it said we'll be like it. We don't know what it's going to exactly look like, kind of body have, but it said our body be like his. Think there's no boundaries. That's hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? Because we're so, everything here is so finite. But when you are in Christ and that day comes, there's no barriers. Walls, I don't know if you'll even see walls. You'll be in a whole new realm. But for now, while we're living on this earth, can you begin to see it? You see, if you keep your heart and your mind heavenward, focus on Christ. He transcends everything. I know there may be cheating coming up and there may be all kinds of lies. There's lies everywhere out there. But God knows the truth. And if you keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus and keep praying to Him and appealing to Him, just watch Him. He'll come through. Trust Him. Trust Him. And enjoy the fact that you are part of God's kingdom. You've got an inheritance prepared just for you. Secondly, do you realize what it says here? It says you've been delivered from the dominion of darkness. You have freedom. You have freedom from the dominion of darkness. God brought you out of the darkness that Satan had you under and all of his lies and all of his cover-ups. You were in darkness to him. And then Jesus came through his Holy Spirit and tapped on your heart. And he convicted you of the truth that he's real and that he loves you and he wants to be your Savior. And he knocked on the door of your heart, see? And you opened it and he came in and he died. He was dining with you. And he said, I'll sup with you. I'll come in and dine with you and we'll have the best of food and I'll clean up everything in your house for you. And I'll cast it all your sins and all the ugliness in the depths of the sea removed from you as far as east is from the west. How about that? And then you have freedom from the dominion of darkness. But now it means you're totally set free from the darkness of the enemy. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. I'm going to say this because I believe it's on my heart and it's necessary. You're totally set free from the darkness of the enemy. You're totally free from the enemy's control. You become the righteousness of Christ. But you listen to me. And you listen what God's saying. You are delivered from the dominion of darkness, Satan's kingdom. But there are those out there right now who want to bring the darkness of Satan's kingdom over every one of us. They want to tell you what to wear, how to live, when to get up, when to go to sleep. And they want you very much to eat soybeans instead of meat. That just hacks me off. I'm serious. Jesus Christ came to set you free from the devil, then don't vote for the devil. I have Christians telling me, well, yes, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm of this party or that. Excuse me? The only party you're supposed to be a part of is the party of God. That's it. And don't tell me that you're a Christian and you're really walking in the Spirit, but you can vote for evil. Nah. No. By your fruits you'll know them. Anybody with me? I know this is stiff, some of it, but it's the truth. Enough's enough. Either we're going to walk the walk or stop talking. There's millions and millions of Christians out there. People who say they are, they don't even vote. And if they don't even vote, then how involved are you anywhere else in the kingdom of God? This isn't about voting, but I'm just saying, if you look at that lack of fruit, then you're not even involved. Then if you don't vote, then you're not going to serve on a jury. You're not going to do your part as a servant. You're not serving Christ. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you're not going to be involved in society. Doesn't work that way. Say, well, I don't want to be political. You don't have to be, but get involved in society. Do something good for somebody. Everybody with me? If you don't want to do that, get on the library board. Serious. Anything. And then witness to people and be a Christian influence somewhere. You know, and this isn't about being political. It's about being involved in life, in other people's lives, with Jesus Christ living in and through you. You have freedom. Don't give it up. You heard me say earlier, because this, I'm not saying God has delivered you from the kingdom of darkness and given you inheritance with God's holy people, kingdom of light, right? He's rescued us. So listen to this. You're free from the devil's control. Don't make a choice to be back under it. If Jesus Christ has freed you from your sins and you get under, you become stressed and you get under a lot of pressure, don't go back to those sins. Is everybody with me? Let Jesus Christ be your pain medication. I'll say it plainer. You don't have to turn to alcohol and drugs. I'm not talking about medications to help you. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You don't have to turn to all this stuff that destroys lives, eats up your soul, makes you say and do stupid things. Turn to Christ. If you need to take a medication, the doctor gives you a prescription, that's not what we're talking about. You know, Advil, there's a lot of Advil eaters in here, I'm sure. Ibuprofen people. Acetaminophen, Tylenol, whatever. Those things sometimes you just, you know. But I recommend to you, try everything that God's put on this earth first. Try natural things. Try God's created thing to see if it'll work for you. That's another sermon. So you enjoy your full inheritance. You enjoy this gift of God's kingdom. And you enjoy the being freed from the dominion of darkness. Let me hit this real quick so I won't keep you all day. You don't want to be here all day, and I don't either. When God says that He's delivered you from the kingdom of darkness and transferred you, brought you in, and given you inheritance in the kingdom of light, His kingdom, let me tell you what you're not free from. You ready? He's freed you from the dominion of darkness. And you know what you're going to struggle with the rest of your life? Temptation. Because it's ingrained in your flesh and you're born with the sins of Adam and Eve. So you're not free from temptation. The devil will tempt you. Now listen to this. The closer you become to Christ, the more you give your heart to Him, your body to Him, your mind and heart, soul, will, emotion to Christ, the more the enemy will try to tempt you to get off that path. If you're wondering sometimes why it just seems like waves of things, succession just keeps hitting and hitting and hitting, because you're doing and doing and doing. God's using you. I've heard people say, well, I must not be close to God or something. I'm out of fellowship because all this stuff is happening. All this stuff would not happen to you if you're out of fellowship. That's where the devil wants you. Why would he reveal himself if you're serving him? You get hit because you're doing some things that God wants you to do. And the devil's going to try to stop you. So you're going to have temptation. Even some people close to you, friends, family, people you work around or have worked around, they're going to tempt you. They're going to question you. They're going to make you try to feel make you feel inferior because you come to church. I haven't heard it in a long time, but I've heard it in my life. Oh, you're a pastor, so you go and take care of ladies and children, women and children. What? You know why they say that? You know, and they'll say sometimes, oh, so you're the guy that goes and visits little old ladies. You know where they get that? Movies. I saw an Audie Murphy. I like Audie. An Audie Murphy Western. And it was the Fast Gun or something like that. And his buddy was the sheriff and he'd come back to town after he'd been run out or something like that. And the bad guys were coming. And the town built a barrier in the road to stop the bad guys. And the preacher in the town, the great mighty reverend, he goes and gathers all the women and the children and stays with them in the church to comfort them. That's the movie theme, right? All the guys, the real men, are out there to try to protect the town. And what is this? So often you see it over and over and over. And yet the lily livered, mealy mouthed, weak, good for nothing, no chest, no muscle pastor goes in with the women and the kids and let's pray. Here's the worst part. Their sheriff comes in and says, we need more, you know, this and that, more people. And he says, maybe. Here's the pastor, right? Here's the gutless buzzard, Sorry, God. But this is a movie, so I can say that. It's not a real person. But they're out there like this. And he tells the sheriff, why don't you go and talk to the bad guy? He didn't say bad guy, but he called his name, the head guy. Why don't you go out and talk to him and see if you can make peace? And he talks the sheriff into going out in front of the barricade while he stays with the women and the children in the church. Right? This is the movie depiction. That's why people think this about all this. And he sends the sheriff out there in front of these bad guys, the outlaws, and to talk peace. He convinces the sheriff to do his dirty work that he's gutless to do. Well, what happens to the sheriff, who's really a good guy, really? They shoot him. Kill him. But the reverend is safe with the women and the children. I've watched these depictions in movies so long. I just turn them off when I start seeing that. And yet, you know, one of the reasons my stomach churns, and I have to say the truth, there's just too darn many pastors like that. I get around them, not as much as I used to, but shake their hands. You never feel a callus. You never feel anything rough. You know they don't mow their own yard. They don't. Their hands are silky smooth. They don't do a dead gum thing. And it's hard to be in a profession where you have to admit that so many of your own kind don't get out there and mix it up, but they tell everybody else to do it, and I'm sorry for that. I really am. Because, you see, they act like they don't ever have a sin in their lives, and friends, we're not free from temptation. When we were freed from this darkness, and I'll move back into the theme so we can start wrapping this up, just remember, you didn't get freed from temptation. You're going to fight. You're going to be tempted to get upset like I do when I see movies about weak pastors. I want pastors, God wants pastors to be men, strong and willing. If you're going to, you know, the pastor ought to be the first one. If you're going to make peace, you be the one to go out there and risk it, right? That's the way I feel. Jesus did. He didn't ask his disciples to go to the cross. He did it. He didn't ask them to stay the night they fled when he was arrested. He tucked the heat. That's what a real man of God does. And he don't blame anybody. You just stand there and take it. You think about it. It's what a godly woman does. You face it. You don't like it. You don't have to like it, but you face it. Because you love him who loves you, Christ. So you're not free from temptation. And I hate to tell you, but you're not free from sinning. Everybody agree with that? And you're certainly not free, from trials and testing. Wish we were. And I'm going to tell you something else, at least in my own life. I'll share this, and I think it's probably true for most of us. You're not free from confusion at times, from frustration. You're in the most of all, you're not free from yourself. You still have to battle your old self. And right when you think you've got your old self all licked, I've licked him, I've whipped him, he's out, I've cast him out. Right when you turn your back and you think you got it, here he comes again, or she comes again, same old self. You say, man, I've whipped this temper, I beat this cussing, I'm not going to cuss anymore. Yeah. And you might stay with it a while, and then old self comes back. Tougher than it was. And then some little thing happens and oh my Lord, a string of stuff comes out, and the devil starts saying, see, see. What you need to be able to say is, in Jesus' name I see, but I'm not staying here. I failed, but I'm not a failure. I fell down, I'm going to get up. That's what you have to do. Let me tell you what you are free from. You're free from hell. You'll never go there as a Christian. You'll never see it as a Christian. You're free from darkness. You're free from lies. You can discern the truth, the lies from truth in the Holy Spirit. And your spirit will bear witness with those who are Christ. Your spirit will bear witness with their spirit. And if it doesn't, back off. When you watch somebody making those speeches on TV or wherever it is, or you listen to a pastor preaching a message, if your spirit's not in witness to that spirit, turn that off. Change the channel. They may look good, and they probably smell good if you could get near them. So does the devil. The scripture says he comes as an angel of light, as one, acting like one, imitating one, so he can deceive. Keep that in mind. Keep it always in mind. You are free from the kingdom of darkness. You are free in God's righteousness to be the righteousness of Christ. And you're free. You're free to be who God put you here to be. So be it. And let me tell you something else that you have. You have you have executive privilege. I didn't know how else to title this. I'm still trying to think. Is that the right way to say it? You have executive privilege. Did you realize that? You have rights that Jesus gives you. Executive rights as part of his kingdom. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your provider. He's your friend. You have direct access to God through Christ. You have the executive privilege, and you can sign an order in Jesus' name and say, Satan, I rebuke you, I renounce you, I refuse to receive the lies you're telling me. Now get out and stay out in Jesus' name. That's an executive order. It's signed in blood, the blood of Christ, and you need to exercise it. And when somebody says something ugly to you, they say something that hurts you, something that you know is not what God wants you to hear, you just say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce this. I refuse to receive it. And go on about your business. You're a child of the living God. Exercise that executive power that he gives you. You have exclusive rights to pray in Jesus' name, to cast out demons in Jesus' name, to walk amongst those demons and crush them, and it says nothing will harm you. Luke 10, right? You can look it up. You have the right to walk and believe and live in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How about that? You have full redemption guaranteed. That's freedom, friends. Your redemption, your righteousness, your freedom is purchased and guaranteed through the blood of Jesus. Enjoy it. Use it. Walk in it. When the devil accuses you, when people get after you, when things are not going the right way, then they're really going south, you can stop and say, I am a child of the living God through my faith in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. I have the protection of that blood. I may sin, but I'm not a sinner anymore. I may fail, but I'm not a failure. I may fall on my face, but I'm not dead. And Jesus Christ will lift me up, and I'll be stronger through my failures. I'll be stronger through my mess ups. I'll be stronger through other people's failures and mess ups. Jesus Christ will never leave me or forsake me. I have all this guaranteed to me. And I'm free in Christ. Now, friends, start living free. And don't let yourself be put under bondage ever again, not in any shape, form, or fashion. I close with this. you have total freedom of forgiveness. Do you get that? Not just total forgiveness, but freedom in that. You have total freedom. What does that mean? You don't have to live in shame. You're freed from shame. Accept it. You're freed from guilt. You're freed from condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who is there to accuse you? No one. Christ Jesus died for you and rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you, for all of us. You have it all. You have total freedom of forgiveness. Every sin, all unrighteousness of every kind is completely forgiven, removed from you as far as the east is from the west, cast into the depths of the sea. Man, why don't you get happy? Enjoy this thing. Be joyful. This is what you have. Take it. Take it. God, through Jesus, paid a heavy, heavy price to give you this freedom, this inheritance, this exclusive rights, executive privilege, freedom to be who He put you here to be. I close with this. Freedom means freedom. Forgiveness means forgiveness. And life in Jesus Christ means life in Jesus Christ. Go get it. Start believing and get it. Father, we thank You for Your word, the power of it, Your healing grace. And thank You not one time during the whole message did my shoulder hurt. Thank You, God. See, and God, thank You that all the hurts and pains, there's physical pain here today. There's emotional pain. There's spiritual pain. There's all kinds of pain. And there's confusion, and there's struggling, and there's wondering. But God, don't let us forget that we're children of the living God, and You've delivered us from the power of darkness and translated in us into the kingdom of light, Your kingdom. And we have all this forgiveness. We have all this love. We have all this inheritance. Lord, keep us focused on it. Keep us focused on Jesus Christ. And thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.